kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I have a title today to share with you, and our title is Jesus Said, Watch and Pray. Jesus said, Watch and Pray. I think we're all very aware we are living in times where it is requiring much prayer. But it's not only just praying, it's being watchful. And I know I've taught on this quite a few times over the years. And one of the things that I brought out in our previous teachings with regard to this is that you cannot be watchful if you are not a man or woman of prayer. You will not really be watchful as God intends his people to be. Because we know, obviously, a watchman is one who is looking out, who is observing, surveying the area, and so on. And we know that you cannot really see spiritually unless you also have a life of prayer. A life where we are told to be in the attitude of prayer, ready to pray any time, any day, anywhere, what is called for. That is what God is expecting from us. But I want to look at two scriptures that our Lord refers to several times with regard to prayer and watching and praying. And our first scripture I want us to have a look at is in Matthew 26, and we'll take it up from verse 36. Matthew 26, verse 36. Now, you all know this story very well. We've preached on this before, but it is very applicable with regard to Jesus's betrayal that night when they're in the Garden of Gethsemane with the disciples, and he asks them to stay awake and pray with him. Let's take it up from verse 36 of Matthew 26. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." So he's asking for that support from the disciples and the three that he takes with him. His heart is sorrowful. He knows what is going to happen to him. The disciples don't really know at this point. They're obviously seeing that Jesus is in distress. But even in that distress, where he's shortly to go to the cross, he's still teaching, he's still giving out, he's still serving. And we take it on in verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." So he's always submitted to the will of God, which God also challenges us. That is why never pray the Lord's will unless you are willing to do the Lord's will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? So that's all it was. It was just an hour that this was going on in that sense. It wasn't very long. And here they are, they've fallen asleep. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So our Lord is giving something very important here to believers. He's showing us that if you don't have a prayer life, you are subject to temptation. You are subject to falling into the enemy's territory. In other words, he can get a hold over your life. And that is why I've said so many times, believers that go back or go back into the world, backslide, you can invariably find that that has happened because they don't have a prayer life and the enemy has got in. And so verse 42, it goes on again a second time. He went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink of it, your will be done." So he's grappling, he's wrestling in his flesh. This shows the humanity of Jesus. But the will of God is still paramount in his mind and his thinking. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be gone. See, my betrayal is at hand." So we see Jesus is very clear what's happening. He's having a word of knowledge. The Spirit is revealing to him. He's being betrayed. He knows what's happening and simply waits for the guards to come. And he doesn't anymore admonish the disciples. He realizes they are not understanding. They don't see the importance of prayer. But they're going to learn. They're going to have to go through a hard lesson in which to learn the importance of praying and watching, which of course is what we're talking about. And one of the hard lessons that they had to learn was the fact that they betrayed the Lord. They ran away from him at that time when he desperately needed that support, of course, when the guards came. And you know the rest of the story. But God is still in control. God is still working. God doesn't give up on us. And this is the love and grace and mercy of the Lord. So the disciples literally, they fell asleep. It wasn't in their heart to see the importance of prayer and being watchful. That's why I always say that it has to drop that 18 inches from the head to the heart before it becomes faith, before it becomes reality. And we live it. Then we have another occasion when he prophesies about the end times. And let's turn to the book of Luke. Luke 21. Luke 21. And we'll take it up from verse 34. We're talking about today where Jesus said to watch and pray. That's what we're talking and discussing today. So we're looking now at Luke 21 and we'll take it up from verse 34. "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life, and that the day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." And he goes on to say that he was teaching in the temple and so on. So again, what is our Lord emphasizing here? The importance of watching, discerning. But we have already showed you that that cannot happen unless you are a saint who prays. So let's take it up again from verse 34, what he says. But take heed. So it means listen. What I'm saying to you is very important. Because he says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with the things of the world. Just the enjoyments of the world. Just doing those things that the world does. The cares of this life. And the day come on you unexpectedly. We need to be on our guard always. Even when we're in the world, even if we're with people or family or friends, those things that we get invites to or whatever, always be on your guard. Do not let your guard down. That is what he's saying, because that is where the enemy gets in. Sadly, the enemy can get in even with our families. It's sad to have to say it, but our families can be our worst enemy. And he says you have to be on your guard. And the only way you can be on your guard in these things of the world is if you are a man or woman who prays. Because your prayers cause you to be watchful. Your prayers cause you to be discerning, to test even our loved ones. That is what he's saying here. Don't get caught up in the carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life. In other words, let the Spirit work that separation always within us, that we're separated first and foremost unto the Lord. When we've got that right, then everything else will be balanced. Of course we live in this world still. Of course we meet up with people and we do get invites and there are family things. God knows that, but we have to be on our guard and watchful. That is what he is saying. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. In other words, our watching and our praying is going to enable us to be raptured, because that's the next great event. He says to escape all these things that will come on the earth, that will come to pass. So being watchful and praying enables us to be able to be ready for the rapture when it comes. Because if you are caught up with the world, the carousing, the drunkenness, the cares of this life, you will miss out on the rapture. That is what he's saying. They're not my words. This is the solemn warnings in the Word of God, and particularly now in the times that we live in, where we are seeing the great falling away now, and the Antichrist is soon to come and appear on the earth. The world is getting ready. We are seeing that they can no longer discern anymore. Man's mind has become reprobate, snared by the things of the world. They're not watching, they're not watchful. The world is just wanting to live as the world does. This is why most are taking the vaccine, because they want to get back their lives, they want to get back into the world, they want to party, they want to do their things, they want their holidays, they want their freedom. That's the reason they're taking it. They're not interested in the side effects or the moral or ethical issues, and not only just the vaccine, but many, many other things and things that will happen. That's how the world lives. We are to be delivered from that spirit. That is why the Word of God is working this deliverance in us, to set us apart unto God, because God loves us. God is protecting us. God is wanting to save us from what is shortly to come on this earth. I thank my Father for this. Even though it may mean my life is restricted, my life changes. It may mean that I'm upsetting my family or whatever it is. I thank my Father that he loves me so much and loves us, that he wants to deliver us from the greatest evil that is coming on planet Earth. If you think the flood was bad enough, this is nothing to what is coming. You have to just read the book of Revelation. This is a sign of the Father's love. And what he's telling us is to watch and pray, because that is what's going to save us, to help us, to deliver us from the great tribulation that is coming. So he says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things. So that is what is going to count us worthy. And we want to be worthy before the Lord. That is our heart's desire, to escape these things that are coming. And that we are found faithful in prayer and in watching and in watching and prayer. Because when God opens your eyes, when you see, that knowledge, that freedom deals with fear and unbelief. Fear exists because of a lack of knowledge and not knowing. When there's confusion, there is fear. When there's a lack of knowledge and understanding, there is fear. That is why fear is the biggest threat to democracy. And governments should know that. And yet they are casting a blind eye to this. I mean, some of these things are just so plain to see, and yet man can be so blind, so ignorant. And yet we are told the Word of God, which we hear, which we read, which we listen to, is come to set the captives free. If you know the truth, then the truth shall set you free. Set you free from what? Fear, confusion. And that always happens when you don't know the truth. And if we don't know the truth, then it is our fault, because the Holy Spirit has come to teach us, to deliver us, to set us free. Because fear will always cause you to compromise. That is what it does. And the enemy knows how to work that in the world. As I've said, it is his problem. Satan fears God. And so he fears God, he's going to make sure the world fears God. But praise God, the Lord has come to set the captives free. Praise his name. And that is the good news of the gospel. And that is why we love the Word of God, because the Word of God is setting us free. The Word of God is enabling us to be able to fulfill what Jesus asks of us, to be watching and to pray, that we may escape all of these things that will come to pass. Notice it says it will come to pass. It's prophesied. It's in the book of Revelation. All we can do as overcomers is simply bind it, fetter it. In other words, keep it at bay through our prayers, our intercessions, our warfare, our addressing the powers and principalities and dominions in the heavenly places. That's what our role is. But when the church is called away, when the overcomers are taken up to the Lord in the clouds, in the air, then the enemy comes forth in a rage. He firstly comes to seduce. He comes as a liar, as a deceiver. And then the last 3.5 years, which is the great tribulation, he then unmasks himself and reveals what he really is. And he then starts to make war. And there will be mass slaughter on the earth. It will be havoc. And praise God, he says, we escape all those things that will come to pass. That is why this is such a good news, such a good message, the gospel. Let us never be afraid of that. Let us never lose sight of that. Let us share why we have the day, because the night is coming. Let us share this good news. There is a remnant out there who will hear. But it means we're to watch. Now, I've spent quite a bit of time about this. What do we really mean then to watch and pray? Well, it means to have an alertness. It's referred to like a guard who is guarding at night, guarding the fortress or guarding a property or whatever it is. He's called to stand and guard all night. That's what it means to be watchful. It means to be vigilant. In other words, it means that we watch more than we do during the daytime. This idea of watching is referred to as the night. You see, at night, everything is different, isn't it? You see, watchmen have to use senses other than sight to detect danger. Your eyes work during the daytime, but your eyes don't work the same at night. You have to depend much more on your senses. So your hearing becomes more sensitive. Smell, touch, all of those things, they're quite different. And that's what it means here when to watch and pray. It means to watch all the time. And prayer helps us to do this. So it's making us very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. It's making us sensitive to what the Spirit is saying, to what the Spirit is saying to the church, what God is saying to you individually as well. And we know what hinders all of that, because the world is the biggest hindrance to our being sensitive, because we live in the world still. But the world fights against this sensitivity in you. The world, you see, if the enemy can't destroy you as a Christian, he'll try and stop you from praying. He'll try and stop you from being watchful, from being sensitive to the Spirit. Because you see, the overcomers, the man-child, is very sensitive to the Spirit of God. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So in other words, we have to be on our guard, because he's trying to take advantage of us all the time in the most subtle ways that he does. And we're not to be ignorant of the way he does that. That is why he's like a serpent, quiet when he moves, but venomous. And we're not to be ignorant, we're told, of his devices. Now, if we have problems in this area, we're not discerning as we should, if the word of God is convicting me and has my name and address on, which it often does, well, here are the promises to help us in John 14, verse 14. And here it is, because we're without excuse. He says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. There we are. We have the confidence that we can ask the Lord to help us to watch and pray. And he's going to do it. He'll work on your behalf. This was what Jesus was trying to challenge the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. Did any of them ask the Lord, Lord, we're sleepy. We don't want to sleep. We want to stand with you. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. Please help us. Did any of them ask? No, they didn't. And we do exactly the same. We ask amiss. We're asking often for the wrong things, for self, my blessings, what I want, instead of standing with the Lord. Our watching and our praying is standing with Jesus, because Jesus doesn't want any left behind. He wants all to go up in the rapture. That is his heart's desire. But we know the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise, the 5 foolish. They are the facts. The foolish virgins don't have that extra vessel of oil because they were not watchful. They weren't praying. They weren't asking for the right things. It says here in John 14, 14. We're still too often asking for worldly things. Lord, I need that money at the end of the month. The bills are coming and whatever. The Lord says, that's not the asking I'm asking of you. If you're putting first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, he says, then all these things will be added unto you. Why are you so concerned? Why are you so anxious? That's what he says. No, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is deeper things. This is things where you start to grow up and mature. That's what he's speaking of here. And yet, how often have we still appropriated these promises here for our basic needs? That food will be on the table. That you will be able to clothe me, or pay my bills, or look after my home and everything. No, no, he just said, put me first and all of that will be added. Don't even give thought. Don't even consider it. There are things far, far more important I want you to be concerned about. I want you to really ask for things that are important. I really want you to understand, to watch and pray. That's far more important than you being worried about your bills being paid or whatever it is. We get so anxious about our families, about worldly things and so on. We need to get delivered from this because it's stopping you from watching and praying as God wants us to be. He is looking after us. He has not forsaken us. Yes, sometimes it appears as though he's late. He doesn't come on time, but it's still his perfect time. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That is his word. because he loves us. And he says if he feeds the animals and looks after them, when you look out of your window, the birds and everything, well, how much more you who are made in his image? No, we need to start asking for the proper things that is going to cause us to be used in these last days, to be of use and value to him, to be able to watch and pray, which he's saying, because that is the message, that is the warning. If we want to go up in the rapture, we know in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that it tells us to be in that attitude of prayer, to be ready to pray any time, anywhere, any day, any moment. And not only that, he's baptized us in the Holy Spirit. So we also have our praying in our understanding and our praying in those languages that he's given us as well. So he's even helped us with that. So we are without excuse, are we not, brothers and sisters? Well, as I bring this to a conclusion, what did Jesus mean when he said that the night is coming when he will not be able to work? Let's turn to John chapter 9 and verses 1-5. The Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 1-5. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, the reason that, of course, that they asked that question is because they always believed that the Samaritans, the Gentiles, were the ones that had the demons, had infirmities. So there's your prejudice, you see. And it goes on, and Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." So what is Jesus referring to here? What did he mean? Night is coming when no one can work. Well, firstly, we need to realize that he was almost stoned to death just before he heals the man born blind. So he's had an escape here of near death, and the Holy Spirit, he enabled him just to walk away from that situation. In other words, he just became invisible. So he's realizing his life is a threat. He's not wanted. He's realizing that he's soon to go to the cross. And so he says, "I can't let that stop me while it is still day. Because the night is when you no longer are free or active." Now, I spoke about this earlier, didn't I? About a watchman. We're to watch and pray. That's what we're talking about, this subject. When you are a watchman, when this idea to watch means it's at night, your senses are different. Your actions, your movements are different. You are much more alert at night than you are during the day. This is what he's meaning here. And he's saying, I do these things during the daytime, but he says the night is coming when I'm no longer active in the same. Because he's speaking about, of course, he's going to be executed, he's going to the cross. And he's saying, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So in his flesh, he's saying, I am at the moment the light in the world. I am the light to Israel, to the Jews who are rejecting this light. Now, of course, we know that Jesus said when he was to die, he said, I will come back to you. And of course, we now have received that light. He's the light of the world through the Holy Spirit. The church is that light. We've been baptized in the Spirit. We've received that light. But up until that point, he is literally in flesh, the light of the world at that time. And Israel rejected their king. They didn't want that light. And he says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. So he's showing that there is going to come a night. There's going to come darkness. And he will not always be that light. And that is why it is so serious. When the tribulation comes, and particularly the last part of the great tribulation, there won't be that light that there once was. That light doesn't go out, which some expositors say will happen. I don't believe that. I believe the Spirit of the Lord will still be there, because we're shown that some will call on the Lord just as they are dying. So the Spirit of God is still working, but it won't be the same. It won't be that light that we have at the moment. Let's cherish that light that we have, that we walk in that light, that he is the light, because this light is not going to be the same. And the powers of darkness want to put this light out. We know that. We are seeing the signs and the times. There is a great threat. There's a great challenge now to this light. And there is going to come a time when it will not be the same, because night is coming and no one can work. You are not the same. You're no longer so active. And of course, he's speaking about persecution. He's speaking about imprisonments. He's speaking about the church going into a dark age, which it will during the great tribulation. You do not want to be left behind. This is why the Lord is stressing we are to watch and pray. Because this is what is going to count us worthy for the rapture. And this is why I make so much about prayer, because Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. And there is much prayer that is needed now. We have already had word. We've had messages from Christians who are living in Israel, who are asking now for our prayers, our intercessions, because the government now are coming on heavy with any who criticize the vaccine. They are prosecuting. They are coming against all messages on your message boards, on the internet, all your well-known ones. They're all banning them now. Why are they doing this? Because they're taking the lead, they say, in this. It's to be an example to the world. They've now got their digital passports. And we're already hearing that some Christians are wanting to leave Israel. Isn't that tragic? God's holy land. And look what is happening. They need a lot of prayer. It clearly reveals, doesn't it, how they will be deceived by the Antichrist. But God will have mercy, because he'll open their Israel's eyes through the two witnesses that will prophesy, that will expose the Antichrist in the tribulation. But we're already seeing the signs, brothers and sisters. We need to be in prayer for our government here, because this is to be debated in Parliament on the 15th of this month. Much prayer is needed for this. So, are we watchful in this? Are we seeing the signs, the times? And are we allowing what we are seeing to work fear, confusion? Or are we turning it positively into prayer and intercession? That is the question. Because if you're not turning what you hear, what you see into prayer, then it's going to torment you and confuse you. And you will react. So we all of us have to learn in this. We are in real times. I wish it was different. I wish we could get back to our so-called normality, our fun times and so on. But I don't think it's going to be. We are now facing a new reset. We are facing a different dispensation. We are now hearing so much now, they're going to start to do away with cash. So it'll all become digital. That's nothing new to us, but we're now seeing companies, shops, some of them, they no longer want to deal anymore with cash. And of course, they're using the COVID-19 as an excuse. Well, there we are. Praise God. The good news is watch and pray. Because those who are watching and praying, they are watching the Lord Jesus Christ. Their eyes are upon him and hearing him and following the Lamb wherever he goes. So don't be downhearted, even though there are real things that are happening. We have been warned for many, many years that we're in the last days. The Lord has been very gracious and merciful in telling us, preparing us, giving us the deeper life teaching, helping us to walk by faith and not by sight. All of this, we're beginning to see why it was, why he's done what he's done, what he's been saying over the years. It's all preparing us that we can stand confidently with those lights, those lamps, and that extra vessel of oil filled with oil. We can stand confidently in him because he is the light of the world. And he lights up everything around us so that we can see, so that we can watch and we can pray. We can be those effective watchmen, those guards watching, looking out for the predators, so that we are always one step ahead. And that is why Jesus said, "My house is a house of prayer." Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking into our hearts. Lord, you love us so much that you warn us. And any loving father and mother who loves their children will do likewise. They will warn. They will help. They will admonish. They will correct if need be. It's all a sign of love. And Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you want us all to make it in. You want us to be watchful and to be in prayer. Because you have shown us, Lord, that is our way of escape. And none of us want to be left behind to face what is coming. And so may we all of us look up as our redemption draws near. May we help and exhort and encourage one another, meeting together, coming together, praying one for another, praying for those needs, praying for our family. All those things, Father, that you lay upon our heart. but may we also be found faithful in our spiritual warfare, because we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, dominions. And Father, above all, help us to ask for the right things, and not those things always to self. And so, Lord, I thank you for our fellowship. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Bless, preserve, and always keep them. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Let him in constancy fall.